Hi, it's Claudia here from Centre for Stories. This is a story we collected from a lovely couple called Ben and Eduardo. In the wake of the postal survey for the legalisation of same-sex marriage in Australia, we thought it was important to promote stories about love, not fear or hate. We wanted to share Ben and Eduardo's story in the hope that we could contribute to the belief that love really is love, and that we all deserve the right and the choice to marry who we love.
So guys, tell us how you met.
So we met in Brazil while I was on a Rotary exchange. We met over Tinder. We matched over Tinder while I was 10 months into my exchange. And we were chatting on Tinder for a week or so. And then I was walking down the street and he messages me saying, "Oh, is that you on blah 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 street?" And I was like, "Hey, this sounds a bit weird. I'm kind of scared right now." But it was funny because he's cute. and then so he messages me and says, "Oh, I'm just at this cafe with my friend." So I was like, "Okay, it's fine. He's with another person in a public place." So I went and met up with him and said hi. And then the next day we ended up going on a date to lunch. And from then on, we just went on lunch date after lunch date after lunch date, and then eventually, like, nighttime dates, and it was really nice. And then...
Then you put a ring on it.
Then I put a ring on it. Yeah. At Christmas, because in Brazil, it's a tradition, so when you're in a relationship, you wear matching silver rings on your right ring finger. So, Christmas Eve at about 3 a.m. we met up at the lake and I gave him a ring.
That is so gorgeous. Oh my god. Oh my god, like relationship goals. When you saw him, Dudu, what was your impression? What did you think?
So when I was chatting to him on Tinder, I had no idea he wasn't Brazilian. So, yeah, I just thought he sounded very formal on Tinder with all his full sentences and full words and, like, words that people would use centuries ago. I was like, okay, this guy's serious. It means business. And then when we saw each other at that cafe and then we had our first interaction, then the accent came through and then I realized he was actually not Brazilian. And it was the start of it all. But actually when I saw him walking down the street, I was actually telling my friend that I matched this guy on Tinder and he sounded really odd. So I was talking about him and then he walked past and then I was like, "Oh wow, I think that's him over there. I'm gonna text him." And then there was the...
Did your relationship start in Portuguese, therefore? Like, so when you were together physically, like when you were hanging out together, were you mainly speaking in Portuguese? And did that make, do you feel like that made a difference to how you relate to one another?
I remember in our first date, on that first lunch date, the day after we met, we were initially speaking in Portuguese, but then I tried to tell a certain story that I didn't know the vocabulary for. So I was like, "I'm just going to say this in English." And then he was like, "Oh my God, I don't understand that accent because it's really intense." Like, because he obviously knows American English. The strong Australian accent came through and he... I'm glad he didn't run away. And
yeah,
from then on it was sort of a mixed match of things and he forced me to speak in Portuguese when I could, and if I had any questions, obviously I could ask him if I needed a specific word to continue my story. So that's helpful.
It's been a bit of, well, when we were in Brazil, it was a big exchange and mixing everything, but now we mostly speak Portuguese at home, and Ben definitely doesn't have an accent anymore in Portuguese, which is very impressive. We have our own teaching business that we started when we came here, so mm-hmm. Ben teaches Portuguese now as well. So
wow, so your Portuguese is good enough to actually teach?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
I'm very happy with my Portuguese.
That's amazing. You should be. I hope you are very smug.
It's one of the things I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
That's fantastic. fantastic.
Because then in the beginning, like when we would have her tiny arguments, I was like, I'm going to use my native language because I will win this.
Oh, that's so
but
good.
Then, but then I just responded in English and it's a lot easier.
That's really interesting because there's so much of a power dynamic involved when you... in multicultural relationships where one person is more fluent in the language in the place that they live, there can really be a power dynamic, right? Because then you're explaining the world to the other person, etc. Whereas you guys, because of how you met, that kind of evens it out, like automatically.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great.
Yeah. I am really happy about that because
at
the same time I came here and didn't know any Brazilians or anything, but that's something that I always have at home wherever I go, so we share the both languages, so that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It also means that you can have your own relationship with Eduardo's family.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your families and how they're supportive of your relationship, and do your families like each other, like you guys, like do your parents like the other person?
So I was born into a very strong Catholic family, very large Brazilian family, and they struggled with me being gay big time, especially my mom. As I said, my mom had a big, my mom went through a process, so it's very identifiable how, when she first knew, she went from being in denial, like, this is not happening, you're not gay, this is a phase, to actually gathering up information and going around and educating herself on what that meant. And then she came around to apologizing, accepting, which at that point didn't mean support yet, but then eventually she came to support me and this relationship enormously, and it was a big chapter of it all. Yeah,
that's amazing. I like the distinction between accepting and supporting, because that's, I think, a lot of times the feeling that it has to be accepted but not supported feels pretty crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there, it's okay, like I'll tolerate it,
mm-hmm.
but actually I'm not gonna take the extra steps that really like mean love,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's a really interesting and important distinction. And for you, Ben, your parents, your family?
My family, I have an older gay brother as well, so he came out about a year before I did, and he was it was a struggle for my parents, but not compared to his family. It was just more of a shock than a problem, really. I came out a year later, and they'd already come to terms with having a gay son, so they didn't really expect me, and I was confused about that, but that's okay. When I did come out, my mom struggled a little bit because she was worried that, as I only have one straight brother and one gay brother, that she wouldn't get any grandchildren. But that probably won't be the case.
You and Eduardo want kids.
Yes, so we're going to do want kids eventually in the future. And my dad has always been very supportive. He often posts a lot of things on Facebook about marriage equality and supporting things, and it's very cute.
So your parents were cool. Your parents cool. And so now, tell us about your relationship with each other's families. Because they're pretty different families, right? One big Brazilian, I'm assuming, but maybe this is just a stereotype, noisy.
Yes.
You know, on the one side, and then like, you know, Aussie family, three boys, you know, smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the relationship like between...
Tell us about the WhatsApp group as well that Ben has.
Is there a WhatsApp group? Tell us.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell about my family?
So, I get along really well with Ben's family. Since the beginning, they were insanely supportive of the relationship. They invited me, well, when I moved to Australia, they invited me to stay with them to make the situation
easier,
definitely. So they've always been very supportive. I struggled with the accent when I arrived.
My dad has quite an intense accent and rolls his words together, so that was a struggle at the beginning.
And, and after 40 hours of traveling to get here, I couldn't understand a single word he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is gonna be a work in progress.
I enjoyed that.
We get along really well. Ben's grandparents, Ben's grandmothers, they are very supportive as well. We have weekly dinners with Nana every Wednesday. Used to be Monday, now it's Wednesday.
Because
they're busy, right?
Because
the Nana's
are busy. They're
busier
than we are.
There's so much going on every day, and I'm just like, how? I can't do that. I can't keep up with that. But he has a messaging group on Facebook with my parents without me in the group. Has had that for a few years now. So,
we watch the same TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
some of us don't have time for TV shows.
Oh my god.
That's hilarious.
But even when we were living with Ben's parents, there was one very big section of our lives that Ben was studying for his exams, and I was doing marathons of TV shows with his parents. Just the three of us upstairs. That's so good.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Tell us about parting being such sweet sorrow. So tell us about that.
So after we met in Brazil, we were together physically for about 4.5 months, and so that was a really intense beginning of the relationship. And so after that, I had to leave and come back to Australia because my exchange had finished, my visa was finished, and we always knew that was going to happen. So we'd made the conscious decision to enjoy the relationship while we could, but we didn't want to do long distance. So we knew that it would be ending when I got on that plane.
Very practical.
Yeah. Yeah, practical until you think that leaving each other was a lot harder than a long distance relationship. So I got on an hour's flight to São Paulo, and then I had a 15-hour layover in São Paulo. So we spent 7 of those 15 hours on the phone talking to each other and crying a lot and missing each other already and very sad. And he had just tried to get tickets to Coachella in that hour's break and couldn't get the tickets, so he had all this saved up money. So his mum said, why don't you go and see that boy with all that money you got? And so 6 months later, he came to visit, and we had decided to do the long distance.
Yes. Well, when he was in the airport, we would be on and off on the phone, because he would go to the place you had your bed where you slept for a bit of the time. So we'd be on and off on the phone, and after I dropped him at the airport in my city for him to go, and then I went to work, and that's where I stayed there for a bit, and that's when I realized that the tickets were sold out. So we had the sorrow already, and then that happened at work. I knew that the tickets had sold out, and then when I went home, my mom told me, well, maybe you should get that money and see that boy. And then on our next phone call, we were like, let's give this a go. Let's see each other in 6 months.
The rule doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The breakup rule, because we're not physically going to be together, doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then by that time, because we were feeling pretty sad, and it was heartbreaking, but then after we decided that we were going to see each other in 6 months, it was like, bearable.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
Started organizing our FaceTime sessions
mm-hmm.
twice a day, because it worked really well. Like, the time difference is ridiculous, but 11, 12 hours when he's waking up, I'm going to bed, so it's free time. So when our day was starting and finishing, we would see each other
mm-hmm.
all the time. So yeah, it works really well.
Yeah.
Marriage equality matters to me because I would love to marry the man that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And just be part of, like, because my older brother's straight and he's eventually going to marry his partner, and I would love to have the same rights as my brother, considering we should, as it's a human right. And
also your brother in the middle, he just got engaged, he's also gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want that marriage.
Sorry, if he can't get married here, they're going to get married in London, and we would much prefer to have the wedding here.
Under the beautiful Aussie skies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you?
Well, marriage equality, well, obviously, it matters to us. Well, firstly, because love is love, and we believe that we should have the same rights, but because being in a international relationship like this is, we have to just jump through so many hoops as well to make this work, and sometimes we have to conform, because there are a lot of married couples out there who don't have kids, or can't live in the same country for a while, or can't live in the same house for a while, but they're married and the love is there and they have the rights, but because we don't have that, we have to conform, we have to come up with proof that this is legitimate, instead of being able to just have a piece of paper that acknowledges that. So it would be really nice.